Life is an adventure. What's your story? Radio St. Pete Insider has one of St. Pete's most intriguing, really one of America's most intriguing women on air today. Ellen Kirshner, welcome. Your new book, Florida Girls, a Novel, is coming out. Hello.
Annette, it is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how this team of touring swimsuit models take over the Tampa Mafia.
Well, that is actually based on a true story. I came across a photograph of a competition in California, and it was pitting this team of swimsuit models in California against a team of swimsuit models out of, believe it or not, St. Petersburg, Florida. But it was during World War II, and I was immediately intrigued. How could that have happened? There were food rations, gas rations, clothing rations. How were these women traveling across the country during that time in history? What shady stuff was going on behind the scenes that made it possible? And that is what I then imagined. Actually, it was a few years later. That story rattled around in my mind for some time. And the pandemic gave me the space to actually sit and commit that story to the page.
It's gritty, and it's a film noir. It's really incredible. You are also an award-winning screenwriter and Pushcart-nominated author who wrote about your expat time in Asia. Two memoirs, Blissful Thinking, a memoir of overcoming wellness revolution, and American Lady Creature, My Change in the Middle East, a Qatar memoir. Really diverse books. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, I never planned to write a memoir. When I have a degree in journalism, and when I went to Qatar is a very weird place. There are women wrapped head to toe in black, and underneath that black garb is designer clothing, and you can tell from their Gucci shoes that you see just moving underneath that black abaya. And they'll be floating through the mall, the scent of Starbucks mixing with the ceremonial incense, oud. So there's the smell, delicious, and right past Victoria's Secret's ads. And there's so much cognitive dissonance. You just don't know what to expect or how to behave half the time. And I thought, well, I'm going to write a book of witty essays about this experience. And then my husband and I weren't super happy in that country at that time. There was no bookstore, and nobody seemed to mind. You know what I'm saying? So he came back to the States to restart our lives here, and then he called and said, oh, wait a minute, actually, what I want to do is get a divorce from you. And I was blown away. Really, the rug was taken out from under me. I was pretty devastated emotionally, and I actually went through a long healing process to get through that, which became the topic of the second memoir. But still, there was something very jarring. I had also gone through early menopause. I was 38 when I moved to Qatar, and then discovered I couldn't have children because I was in menopause, which is very young, I know.
Right.
And so I had to redefine myself as a woman in one of the world's most patriarchal cultures while going through a divorce that I didn't ask for or want. And that was a memoir. I didn't want to fictionalize that story. I wrote fiction on the side at the time, and I didn't want to fictionalize that story because it just felt like it was too important, too precious to me to kind of realize, because what I realized when I was living there was how I had internalized the fairy tale, the misogyny of the fairy tale, and how much of my identity I had put into the fact that I was a married woman and thinking, you know, we were going to have a family and all of that. And then not only was I not that, but that would never be my story.
Your story is so interesting because life is a story. You were a story coach for many, many years over at Greenlight Cinema, working with Eugenie. You were, you know, you've worked in marketing. You took a total U-turn from what you started out working with Ketchum, Carnegie Mellon, and Tribeca Film Festival. Mm-hmm. You were always into fitness. Your family owned a health club. And your work has been featured NBC, NPR, BBC Radio, Fox News. That's a lot of stories. What do you love about storytelling and teaching people about stories?
Well, I really have learned how to live my own life through story. In many ways, the best teaching that is available to us, I think, as humans, is learning from each other. And that comes in the most vivid way, to me, the most practical way, through story. When someone just says, don't do that, it hits one level of my awareness, you know. But when I hear a story, especially if that main character is somebody who has a flaw that I can relate to and they are willing to go there and tell me all of their dirty truths, then I can really feel empathy for them. And it changes, that then changes my world. That is actually a documented fact. I mean, I've experienced that in my own life, but neuroscience tells us that stories make us more empathetic and it broadens our worldview. So I love the ability of, and I've seen it happen for years over doing the story show here in St. Pete and doing storytelling through the Moth in New York City. I've seen people change dramatically coming out of their shells, literally coming out like so many stories I've seen over the years.
Story is your superpower. I know that. And radical honesty is the path you use. Tell us a little bit how we can practice radical honesty in telling our story. Can you give us some tips?
Well, I think radical honesty can be really difficult if it's not a skill that you have practiced. And honestly, I think that's why writing is such a huge tool for me, because sometimes it's much easier to write down how I'm feeling rather than express it to someone else. And once I've externalized that story, Nanette, then people, I'm not as afraid of it. I see it, it becomes its own thing. I see the characters, I see the archetypes, and it's almost as if I understand my place next to it better. I am not my story, right? So, I mean, that I learned through those years of healing that I was telling you about. I went to India and I studied yoga and meditation and I did lots of deep spiritual dives, and that's the subject of the second book.
Are you in your new book? Is there
no.
a character? No, so there is no, so you are not the Florida girl. So I do want to.
Although I have a funny story about that.
Tell us,
you want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely.
I dropped it off. I was mailing out some ARC copies to media yesterday. I dropped it off and the postman said, "Oh, Florida girls, that looks interesting." And I said, "Well, it's about a team of Doring swimsuit models and World War II." And he said, "Oh, were you one of them?" And did you know when World War II was? I mean, I thought it looked cute. What is happening?
At least they don't ask you card you when you're in the store buying a nice bottle of wine. So I understand you also had a short film that was an award-winning screenwriter, My Dinner with Stephen. Is it still currently making the round at the film festivals?
No, that had its run, but it's visible. It's on Vimeo. You can find it. I love that movie because that's what really reignited my passion for the fictional storytelling, because I had written this second book, the stories, it wasn't selling, it was just languishing, and I thought, you know, I'm going to take some of these stories and do something else with them. And I had become involved with the acting community through Eugenie, and I decided, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I will write these as short films and we'll get people to act in them, and it will be so much fun. Not only was it fun, but I actually got recognition for that, which was sort of a boost in the arm. And then the memoir sold. And then the book. And so, you know,
And then the movie will be coming. Do you see this? I mean,
Florida Girls as a movie? I could see it. Or my memoir as a movie. I could see them all as movies.
I could see them.
The
I
truth.
Mean,
I've cast
it's beyond
them,
Love, Pray, Eat.
Yes.
Blissful Thinking is, you know, if you read Love, Pray, Eat, this is so, I mean, I took it from the library and I was going to stop at Tombolo or Book and Bottle today to pick up a copy.
Well, I brought you one.
I know, both of them. Stay tuned, we'll be talking more about that. But you do see these as movies, don't you?
Absolutely. I always saw the first one really as a movie. Again, because I just feel like that's a story that needs to be told. And as we've gotten less afraid of the F word, feminist, it's become less intimidating, I think, to people.
Well, you know, Sheehy and Betty Friedan love you still. The Cream Pin Chronicles is a trilogy, and Florida Girls is the debut novel.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that with us.
So it was, I thought Florida Girls was going to be a standalone novel, but then when I got to the end of the book, the characters were still talking to me, and plot twist. So I ended up writing into two different topics, because if you think about the mafia at that time, they really flourished. And I think there was a sort of vacuum with the attention and the intention of the U.S. government, even though there were these bizarre forays of justice, Thomas Dewey, you know, people claiming that they were going after the crime in the U.S. and their efforts were so ineffectual, partly because they seemed to be going after the wrong aspects. But that's another story. These characters have interior lives that are very rich, and it's not just about the mafia, right? That's sort of the plot. But they are living, breathing entities, and they wanted to go to Las Vegas next, and then Havana.
Uh-oh. Well, we're looking forward to that. Did you interview, are any of these women still alive, and did you interview any of them?
I did not interview anyone from the real team, partly because, again, this was during the pandemic, and I wanted to make, as it became clear, because it started off when I was writing it, I was writing also the men's stories, just like I had seen in the history books when I started to look at this. So these female characters that started speaking to me aren't real or based on any real people whatsoever. They're more based on the lives of women that I have known that have gone through experiences similar. I don't know anybody who has taken over the Tampa Mafia. Other than that, a lot of the things have happened.
Is there an opportunity for us? I think LL and NW.
Yes.
It's just amazing. Florida Girls is coming out, and we're going to announce it here that you will be launching a podcast with Radio St. Pete on something that you've been running in your newsletter, Ill-Behaved Women, connecting with people and stories, making history now. Dish, girlfriend.
Well, I am really looking forward to talking about stories from the past that are still relevant today. This is what I love about writing historic fiction. I love doing the research, and you find out so many fascinating characters. I mean, the first historic character that I ever became interested in was my own grandmother. And her mother, whose name was Exie D. Clausen, and she was quite a minx. She she liked to get her hair done every week. She would ride around in this old convert. I have a whole picture. I sometimes want to write a movie about that, her life.
I think she would make a great first podcast.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, she wasn't in Florida.
That's okay. We'll just move her here. Isn't that how
that's
we fictionalize?
Fiction. That's right.
What are you reading? What's on your bookstand?
I just started a new book this morning. It's actually about crime in Las Vegas, and it's Sin City : and then more words. And honestly, I can't remember it. But the last thing that I read that was really engrossing to me, the two things that I loved, one was Leanne Moriarty's Apples Never Fall, which is coming out as an Apple series. That is a fantastic book. And I also just read Stephanie Dre's, and she has a co-author, America's First Daughter, which is a really engrossing book. It's about Thomas Jefferson's daughter, Martha. Phenomenal books, both of those. This one about Sin City, I'm finding a little disturbing for other reasons, but mostly because they're completely glorifying the criminals and saying how unfairly they were prosecuted, which is true, but they're sort of glossing over women who were really badly treated in this bizarre book.
Can't wait to read it. So tell us how people can connect and engage with you.
Well, it's easy to reach me at illbehavedwomen.com. That will take you. You can either subscribe to my Substack or reach out to me directly from that page and learn all about my books and all sorts of things. I do have book club downloads if you have a book club.
And you are also still coaching, not doing your class right now, taking a little step away. And your debut, Florida Girls, comes out
May 28th, and there will be an event at Tomalo Books to launch it. But since it turns out that is the day after Memorial Day, it's going to be the following week, June 6th.
Great. Well, you'll find it when we launch this online. We thank Ella Kirshner for being here. Florida Girls, Blissful Thinking. It's always a good day to have you here.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. You're a great host.
And you are a great guest. Au revoir.